You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. A handful of the bills that worked their way through the California legislature this year were launched by students at McGeorge Law School, specifically a new class called the Legislation Clinic. Five teams of students developed five bills and lobbied for them. And the success rate of the work has been, I think, pretty impressive. So in the studio with me, I'd like to introduce Lexi Howard, who just graduated from McGeorge and works as a lobbyist and was part of the team with a bill that is on its way to the governor's desk. Lexi, congratulations.
Thank you, Beth.
That is one beaming smile. It's nice to hear that work just in a concrete way like this, isn't it?
It is, and particularly when you are doing something good and accomplishing something. In our case, our bill solves a problem that is related to the investigations of workers who wish to work in facilities for foster children and the elderly. This bill says, quite clearly, that those workers must be screened and have criminal background checks. We think that's obvious and a good thing.
All right, that's Lexi. Sitting next to her is Fielding Greaves, who worked on a team with a bill that made it through the Assembly, didn't clear the Senate, but it had to do with advanced health care directives. Hello, Fielding.
Hi, good morning.
Did I describe that accurately?
Yeah, that's about right. And it started out as a project that sounded relatively simple. We were going to take a filing system for advanced health care directives and basically make it electronic. And as we went through the process, we learned that it was enormously complex and also very expensive. And we learned also that we were probably going to need to move the program from one agency to another, and had lots and lots of details to figure out. And it just became too complex. So I wound up recommending to Dr. Pan, the bill's author, that we shelve it for another year and figure out more of the details.
That was a wake-up call to the realities of government,
right? Yes, it was.
That other voice chuckling that you hear in the studio is Professor Rex Frazier, an adjunct law professor at McGeorge. He is also president of the Personal Insurance Federation of California. He teaches the Legislation Clinic, but he's also been wearing the hat as the sponsor of the Uber bill that I was just talking to Katie Orr about. So you have your hand reaching into government in a lot of ways. Welcome.
Thank you very much, and I obviously have a very understanding wife.
That's right, because this has been a busy season. So the class shaped the bills and then needed to go find sponsors?
Absolutely. So it's a year-long clinic, and 12 students were admitted to the clinic. In the fall, they do all the problem identification and then research about the alternatives for how to address that problem. And then their final is to draft up the legislative language, put together a coalition strategy, a media strategy, and be ready to go. And then when we come back in January, they go out and they shop their bills, find authors, and away we go.
Was the goal five bills, or is that just what evolved as the most likely language to pursue?
The rules for the class are that you have to have at least one partner, because it's just so difficult to change state law. You just can't do it on your own. They divided in 12 students into five groups. And then from there, it wasn't necessarily legislation, because not every problem needs to be solved by a bill. In the case of Lexi's group, they knew the problem they wanted to address, but they really started off by doing media work. And it wasn't until, I think, KCRA really jumped on board and took note of the problem they were discussing, then things took off from there, and ultimately legislation happened. But we weren't certain their project was even going to result in a bill.
Lexi, I want to ask you about that aspect of it, because KCRA has described this as a bill that they really efforted and moved into awareness. In fact, they were thanked by the sponsor for it. And yet the backstory of it is that you got involved at some point in the language. So is it shared credit here, or is your part of the work secret?
Our part of the work is very public, and really shared credit to everyone. It takes a village, if you will, to pass a bill. In this case, KCRA's story initially and ongoing coverage of it. Assemblymember Brian Mainshine's willingness to carry the bill through the legislature, which is a tremendous process, and his team, and Ed Howard of the Children's Advocacy Institute, the sponsor of the bill.
So you're already a lobbyist, and you decided to go back to law school. But were there surprises in this legislation clinic to what you already knew about the process?
Yes, and I'm a baby lobbyist. I came to the field from a background in real estate. So for me, coming from a different industry and not working in the building, as we'd say, not having those relationships with legislators and staff, this has been a tremendous experience to meet other people, work with people in the building, people like Fielding and others, in a collaborative effort. And there really is a sense of camaraderie and joy that comes from doing a good thing.
Fielding, how daunting was it at the beginning to think that you actually needed to create this legislation and try to sell people on moving it forward?
It wasn't really daunting until later when we figured out more details.
When you
it
hit your stop
sounded
signs.
Relatively easy. Yeah, absolutely. It started out as something that seemed like a relatively easy fix that would just be requiring a state agency to do something. And then we just determined that we were going to need to really move the whole program and figure out details with respect to security, identification, authentication of these records. We didn't want to have some unfortunate situation where somebody falsifies a record and then mm-hmm. results in somebody being harmed or possibly left to die. So it's very, very serious issues to confront and work out before the Senate was going to allow the bill to move forward. So it just seemed best to shelve it.
And once it got difficult, you're already in it. You can't stop.
Right.
You've got to see
right.
it all the way through to the finish line.
Right.
Let's go through the list of the five. Maybe you can help me here, Rex.
Sure.
And we've spoken about Lexi's group and AB 2632. So that one's on its way to the governor's desk right now.
Yes.
Okay. Then we had SB 1058. And what was this one that a group put out?
Yes, this was a bill done in collaboration with the Innocence Project. Senator Mark Leno was the author, and it responded to what California Lawyer magazine called the worst decision of the year by the California Supreme Court a few years ago, dealing with what happens when someone is convicted on science that over time we know to be false, but the prisoner would like a new trial to challenge the evidence that was used against them. And the Supreme Court said under the current law that even if you show it's junk science or whatever euphemism you'd like to use, that's not, quote, false evidence. It's just opinion testimony. It's neither true nor false and doesn't qualify for a new trial under the false evidence standard. So this bill would allow that.
So that if the testimony is discredited, an inmate can get a new hearing. And that bill is on its way to the governor, too.
It is. In this particular case, a man was convicted of murdering his wife based on bite mark science. And 20 years later, the expert doctor who testified at trial recanted. As he was on his deathbed, sad for what he had done, he realized over time that the science had been eclipsed, and he asked that the inmate receive a new trial, and the California Supreme Court ultimately declined, but under this bill, he would have an option to do that.
Okay, another student origination, AB 2643. This is the revenge porn bill, as it's called. We reported on it yesterday. That's on its way to the governor.
Yes, there had been previous legislation defining revenge porn as a crime. But the students working with some domestic violence groups heard that when women are in this situation, they don't necessarily want to approach the criminal justice system. It's scary. You don't want to press charges. Really, what you want is a safe and discreet way to get the material taken down, that you don't have to have a filing with your name in it. You don't have to have the offensive material put in the filing. And so what the bill would do is create a civil action where you can get a judge to say, no, take it down, but you do it under a pseudonym and the evidence is actually seen in camera with the judge.
One more, AB 2623.
AB 2623 deals with elder abuse training for police, and this came out of McGeorge's elder law clinic where a group of students had seen the same case where a woman had called the police 30 times when her adult son was, she accused him of abusing her, and the police would come, and if there's not a current ruckus, what can they do? And so this was an effort to try to help police have not only better training when it comes to recognizing elder abuse, but also have some practical solutions they're able to offer.
So that's four of the five, because Fielding described the roadblocks he
yes.
hit with his
yes,
four
mm-hmm.
on their way to the governor's desk. Are you surprised?
We laugh about it because we are surprised. But there's that saying by Margaret Mead about the power of mm-hmm. a small group of committed people.
She says that's the only thing that ever has worked, right?
And this is a testament to that, because what we try to do in the clinic is to help them find the Goldilocks sweet spot of doing something that's doable yet meaningful. And sometimes some of the proposals we vetted last fall were quite aggressive, and we tell them, it's okay, you can go ahead and do that, but your educational experience is going to be cut short pretty quickly. So let's find something that is meaningful to you, but that you can do.
That's Professor Rex Frazier. He's an attorney, and back in 1996, he actually managed the Prop 213 campaign, which was a ballot initiative that reduced auto insurance premiums. So you have a long history with this. We got this piece of information, Lexi, about lobbyists in Sacramento who were educated at McGeorge, and apparently there are more in the lobbyist contingent that had that education path than any other law school in the state.
It's true, and it's true also with those who work in the Capitol. There are a surprising number of members or staffers or lobbyists, as you say, who are McGeorge grads, and that creates a phenomenal network. It's a network that helps us leverage our clinic work, and combined with the collaborative efforts in the clinic where we are meeting weekly, reporting on our bill progress, working with each other and working with Professor Frazier, it's really a dynamic process.
Well, if you were in real estate before and you decided to go to law school and you just graduated and now you have a piece of legislation on its way to the governor, I think we need to congratulate you because you had a dream that you've obviously been able to make come true.
You're very kind. Thank you.
And Fielding, you're still in school for a little while.
Yes, I graduate in December, keeping my fingers crossed.
So you won't be in the legislation clinic again this year, correct?
No. It's a one-year clinic, and I'm through it, yeah.
But after having this experience, did it direct at all what you might intend or want to do in the future?
Not really. I still don't really know what I want to do when I grow up, but I'm enjoying my job a lot right now. I work for Assemblymember Bob Wachowski, and the legal education is fantastic for my line of work. And, of course, I got to actually staff one of our bills, AB 2643, the revenge porn bill. So that was very, very fun getting to work with my classmates on the bill.
And you do have the clinic again this fall, right?
Last Thursday night. Can you believe it? Fall semester started.
Yeah,
and so we've had two class meetings of the new clinic, and they know they've got a lot to live up to because we had such an exceptional group of students last year. And we've already started discussing issues from so-called digital legacy, which is what happens when someone dies and all the digital counts. Who controls that? What are the rules for that? Of course, with the drought, groundwater management and impediments to water conservation efforts. And we even have a student group researching whether daylight savings time should continue.
Okay. Past, present, and future there. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your experience. And again, congratulations on the good work that was done for the state, for all of us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Beth.
Thank you. There's more information online at capradio.org, including following stories about these bills that the governor now has a decision to make about. That's at capradio.org. Just click on state government. This is Insight on Capital Public Radio.